Joining us right now is Tommy Binion. He is with the Heritage Foundation. He's the Director of Congressional and Executive Relations to give us the lowdown on the health care bill. Tommy, good morning and welcome to Mornings on the Wall.
Good morning, Mary. It's great to be with you.
How are you this morning? It's Monday.
I'm doing fine. We're mighty busy. This is going to be a fast and furious week on the Hill. They've got a recess next week and plenty to do this week.
Now, will we see any kind of vote before the recess? I mean, what are the odds of them canceling the recess?
Well, I think the odds of them canceling the recess are pretty slim. They could do something like go into Saturday or Sunday, but okay. I predict senators will be back in their states by Independence Day next week.
So will the vote on the health care bill be before the 4th? And is it right to rush it, or is it better to do this the right way and wait until after the 4th?
It's hard to say. They absolutely do not have the votes right now. There are five Republican senators from both sides of the ideological divide, conservatives and moderates, opposed to this bill. And so they don't have the votes right now. Whether or not they can get an amendment this week to get the votes to pass, that's a steep climb. So, maybe 60-40 they have the vote this week. Certainly, Majority Leader Mitch McConnell seems determined to have the vote this week. But whether or not that vote is successful is also another question.
Tommy, where do you stand on the bill? What would you like to see changed or kept?
Well, this bill is better than Obamacare. That's step one. You've got to be better than Obamacare, but this is certainly not repeal, root, and branch, as we were promised and as we expected. So hopefully those conservatives who are opposed to the bill are able to leverage some amendments to this bill to make it even better. Right now, the areas of concern, the Medicaid expansion that this bill leaves in place is a cost driver for the federal government, and it's really something we were hoping to get rid of out of this repeal process. So there's pros and cons in there. It's certainly a step forward, but it's not a big enough step forward.
What do you think happens, though, if some of those concerns you mention are addressed, but then, it goes to reconciliation? Do you worry that the House then becomes the issue?
They could. I think the conservatives in the House are aligned with the conservatives in the Senate, so if, for instance, Senator Mike Lee and Senator Ted Cruz and Senator Rand Paul vote for this bill, it's likely you'll see the conservatives in the House be willing to pass it. That would be the quickest way, the easiest way to get this done, is for the House to take up what the Senate does. To be clear, though, there is a possibility that we wind up in conference on this bill and the conference committee comes up with a whole new third draft.
Right.
Yeah, I'd like to ask you about this Medicaid expansion, since you mentioned that. You've got some who are facing, it seems to me that the senators who are facing re-election, the congresspeople who are facing re-election, for instance, Dean Heller out of Nevada, he now is facing re-election. He's got a battle because someone, a Democrat, is going to run against him. He now is opposed to the cuts in Medicaid, because now he's up for re-election. I don't know if that's something where you can come to a happy medium on, because there are some who want this cut. It's too much. We have more and more people collecting Medicaid. And then you've got people like Dean Heller who are like, oh, you're hurting the poorest among us, because he's going for re-election.
Well, I can understand that. But the truth is, when you promise to repeal Obamacare, that includes the Medicaid expansion. And to be clear, that what happens in the Senate bill, Medicaid was expanded in two ways under Obamacare. There was a brand new population of people eligible for Medicare, and for that population, the federal government agreed to pay a much higher match rate. That population stays eligible for Medicaid forever under the Senate bill, but we return to the normal match rate, the pre-Obamacare federal match rate, in year 2024. I can't see much more room for compromise or much more give way on the Medicaid expansion and have a bill that still qualifies in any sense as Obamacare repeal.
Can President Trump get involved here and make everybody come to the table, the two factions that are farthest apart from each other, and get them to come to a compromise, or is that not his role and he's best to stay out?
No, I think President Trump is involved. He certainly played that role in the House. He spent hours and days and weeks and months negotiating with various factions within the House. I expect him to play a similar role here. although we're talking about individual senators rather than factions, as we were in the House. This is a big part of his legacy. It's a big promise that he made as he was running for office. So I certainly expect him to play an active role, even if just, you know, I think he will be in the room negotiating and helping bring senators along. But he has a bully pulpit on his Twitter that we've never seen before. I think certainly he'll play a role from the outside, encouraging the grassroots and his supporters to get engaged on this bill.
And what do you say to those Democrats, liberals who say that this healthcare bill hurts the poor, gives to the rich, and won't address, for example, the cost curve in healthcare in America?
Well, I think it absolutely will address the cost curve in America. What Obamacare did was it squeezed the middle class who don't get health insurance from their employers. A lot of folks in America get health insurance from their employers, and under Obamacare, low-income people who don't get health insurance from their employer got a huge subsidy to help them purchase health insurance. But Obamacare drove up the cost of premiums for health insurance for those middle-class Americans who don't qualify for a subsidy, but they have to have health insurance and they don't get it from their employer. It's really that group that got most squeezed by Obamacare, and it's that group that we're principally concerned with this Obamacare repeal package. Low-income Americans are going to continue to get a subsidy. Most of us are going to continue to get our health insurance from our employers, but driving down the cost of premiums, alleviating that regulatory scheme that makes health insurance so expensive is so important for that middle-income group of people in America. That's what this bill is aimed at.
Right, Tommy, thank you so much for joining us. We're going to be keeping an eye on this, as I'm sure you are. And listen, do me a favor. The next time you talk to one of these high-ranking Republicans, could you please tell them to take a lesson from the Democrats and learn how to message and how to control the message? They're getting hammered on this, and it's driving me crazy. So I would appreciate that. My mental health would appreciate that.
I sure will. I'll pass it on. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Have a fantastic day. That's Tommy Binion from the Heritage Foundation, Director of Congressional and Executive Relations.